So we last saw in the last webinar, Nachiketas asked the first of the three boons to Yamadharmaraja. He asked, Eta Trayanam Prathamam Varam Vrine. So among the three, this is the first of the three boons I am asking. And that first of the three boons itself was a group of several boons. And Yamadharmaraja, he knows that he is not dealing with an ordinary person, a very intelligent person, who could club so many things together and ask one varam. Now the second boon, what Nachiketas is going to ask, we will see today. Mantra number 12. Swarge loke na bhayam kinchit nasti na tatratvam na jaraya bibethi ube tirtva ashanaya pipase shokatigaha modate swarga loke. So this is the 12th mantra. From this shloka up to the 19th shloka or the verse, we have the second boon of Nachiketas. And as was said earlier, Nachiketas' concern was his family first. Now he is concerned about the society. What is the desire of majority of people in life? Certainly not moksha. Only a minority of people want moksha. If God were to come here right now and ask us, the pushpakam is ready, so I am willing to give moksha to anyone who desires it right now. You should just leave with me. If God has to ask this question to us, most of the people will ask him, will you please give me one more day? Or at least one more, maybe an hour, maybe. I want to take care of a few things. Let me sign the will. People will be hesitating to, or they may even ask for the identity of the God. So all these things will happen. So only a very, very minuscule number of people are interested in moksha. So manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye. That's what Krishna said. So among thousands and thousands of people, only a select few, they desire moksha. So even if the Lord wants to give moksha freely, we do not want. We will say, let us worry about it later. Then what do really people like? They want perhaps a very comfortable, very prosperous, happy life where all the material comforts are there. That is what is desired by most people. People always look for, except in very rare cases, such a life only. And so Nachiketas, now he wonders, what is the best materialistic thing that is possible for a person to desire? And according to scriptures, the most comfortable life, the scriptures say, is in Swargaloka. There all sense pleasures are there. There is health, there's a lot of people, all of them are there, all entertainment. So he says, Swargaloka is the best among material pleasures. So I should provide with an appropriate means for getting Swargaloka to people. So this mantra glorifies the Swargaloka. The mantra number 12 we just read, it glorifies the Swargaloka. And what is the glory of the Swargaloka? Swarge loke bayam kinchin nasti. In Swargaloka, Swarge loke, there is no insecurity, no fear of any kind. It's a very, very secure place. Bayam kinchin nasti. So people will be very, very naturally comfortable and they are happy. Why is Swargaloka very safe and comfortable? If you ask, Nachiketas makes a very, very mischievous statement here. He says, it is because you are not there. You means what? Yamadharmaraja. You are not there in Swargaloka. See, he is really mischievous. It may be a fact, but can we really say like this? For example, if one member of the family, if he or she goes to India or some other place, maybe let us say husband or wife, whomsoever it is, can we say that we were all very happy or we are very happy because you are not there? It may be a fact, maybe in some instances, but we never write or we say that. So Nachiketas is very, very bold and Yama is appreciating it. And he says, Tatra Tvam Na, because you are not there. Where? In Swargaloka. And by you, what does Nachiketas mean? He means not just Yamadharmaraja by itself, as even though it's the story,
It is the Kala Tattvam, the time principle. The time principle is not as active in Swargaloka as it is in Earth. Because according to scriptures, different lokas have different time frame. Even if we take, I mention this all the time, even in our daily life, between our real world, waking world, and the dream world, the time domains are different. Within 2 or 3 minutes of dream, we do so many things. We go for education, we get a job, we get married, we get children, so many things. All these things happen within that 1 or 2 minutes. So the time domain in Swapnaloka is very different from that in the waking world. Similarly, the time domain in Devaloka, Swargaloka, all those places, that is all very, very different. That is why Tarpanam, etc., they are done only once in a month. So not that other times they are not hungry. Their time domain is such. So according to that, Kala means the time principle, it acts very, very slowly in Swargaloka. And therefore what? Jaraya na bibeti. They do not grow old at all. Jara means old age. They don't grow at all old. So they are young always. And not only that, Ashanaya pipase ube tirtva. They are free from hunger and thirst also. Because of which alone, there are a lot of problems actually because of hunger and thirst. Most of the time we work for removing what? Hunger and thirst only. So, Ashanaya pipase ube tirtva. Therefore what? Shokadigaha. They are beyond all the sorrows, shokam, caused by hunger, thirst, jara, old age, salinity, marana bayam. All those things are not there when they are in Swargaloka. And so if one goes to heaven, what happens? Swargaloke modate. They have a gala time there, very happy. All the time they spend in what? Entertainment all the time. Rambas dance today, Urvashi's dance tomorrow, Tilotama's dance day after tomorrow. So all the time there is entertainment, no hunger, no thirst, no fear, no disease. So people will naturally like it in Swargaloka. So Nachiketas, he now continues in this manner, he tries to argue and he is asking for the second boon towards that. So Swargalokaha. And the next, we'll now read the next, Avvetitva. So now the mantra number 13. Sattvam agnigam swargyam adyeshi mrityo prabruhit tvagum shraddhadhanaya mahyam swargalokaha amrutatvam bhajante yetadvitiyena vrinevarena. So through this, Nachiketas is asking the second boon. So what is the glory of Swargaloka? Swargalokaha amrutatvam bhajante. Not only all the people in Swargaloka, they are free from hunger and thirst, old age, etc. Ultimately, they enjoy even immortality, amrutatvam. Swargalokaha. The Swargalokaha means the people in Swargaloka, the heavenly denizens, the celestials. Amrutatvam bhajante. They enjoy immortality also. So up to this is the description of the heavens. So in the Shastras, within the heaven itself, there are a lot of gradation. When we say we go to Swargaloka and be happy, there also there are a lot of gradations. They are talked about in the Shastras. Actually, we are not giving those details here, but 6 heavenly worlds are talked about in our scriptures. Bhuvarloka, Suvarloka, Maharloka, Janoloka, Tapoloka, and Brahmaloka or Satyaloka. So 6 levels of heavens, and in each higher level, the pleasures are also superior. All these heavenly worlds are indicated by the word Swarga. When he says Swarga Lokaha, the word Swarga indicates all these 6, 7 heavens. So Swarga Lokaha, Amrutatvam Bhajande. And here we have to make a very important note. Now, the Upanishad, what it says, in the Swargaloka, that the people are immortal. In Swargaloka, people are immortal. But elsewhere, the same Upanishad says that even in Swargaloka, the jivas cannot be immortal. So here it says, Swargaloka, the jivas are immortal. But in some other context, The Upanishad says in Swargaloka, they are not immortal. So they will have to come back to Bhuloka again. Actually it says, Nakasya Prishtete Sukritenu Bhutva Imam Lokam Hinataram Vishanti. The celestials will enjoy the heavens for a long time. And later they will have to come back to this loka or lower loka. Krishna said, Shrine Punye Martya Lokam Vishanti. After the Punya balance is exhausted, they have to come back to Martya Loka. So definitely there is a contradiction between two Upanishadic statements. One saying that the celestials are mortal, and the other Upanishads, in Katopanishad, that's what it says now. In the other one says, in Mundaka Upanishad, it says it is immortal. So when two Vedic statements are contradictory, how do we really solve that? So we cannot say that I will scratch off one of these two statements and say it is a typographical error or something, because you know, that's not so. Then how do we solve it? Here only we should use the principle of Mimamsa. Mimamsa is inquiry. That's what we have to use, the principle of Mimamsa, the interpretation. So unless we know to interpret the Vedas, the Veda mantras, Vedas can give us many wrong notions and many wrong confusions it will create. So all scriptures, not only Vedas, whether it is Gita, whether it is Puranas, all of them, they will be confusing if we do not have the key of interpretation properly. So according to the principle of interpretation, we have to apply an important law here. And what is that law? Wherever two Vedic statements are contradicting, then the statement which is supported by logic is considered to be stronger. That is the law. When there are two contradicting statements, the one that is supported by logic is considered stronger. So it says, Shrutyoho parasparam bade jnanopeta gariyasi. So this is the law. So jnayopeta, jnayaha apeta. Shrutyaha, shrutyo parasparam bade. When two Vedic statements in Shruti, Shruti means in Vedas, in the Shrutyoho parasparam bade, if two Vedic statements are mutually contradictory, which one is powerful? Nyaya upeta. Whatever is supported by logic, that alone becomes stronger. Now here we have got two contradictory statements. One says celestials are mortal, and the other one actually said that celestials are immortal. So which one is supported by logic? We have to see it now between the two, and we will find out only the first one, namely the mortality of celestials alone, is supported by logic. How? They have attained the heavens. Only the performance, by the performance of what? By some karma or the other. They have gained a lot of punyam, and because of the results of their action, the end product of a process, the karma palam, is Swargaloka for these people. And we know, according to logic, whatever has a beginning has to have an end. So jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuho. That's what Krishna said. So mortality of celestials alone can be accepted because that alone is logical. So what is our conclusion now? Heaven is also finite. We do not believe in eternal heaven. It is illogical. So the powerful statement is what? Celestials are mortals also. That alone can be the stronger statement. Then what will be the weaker statement? Celestials are immortal. It becomes only a subsidiary statement. It cannot be a stronger statement. And what should we do with it then? We should not reject it. Why? Because it is Vedic statement. We cannot reject any Vedic statement because it does not apply to our logic. So the subsidiary statement should be interpreted in keeping with the stronger statement. That is how the analysis should be done. These are all steps of Mimamsa. We are just looking at a small glimpse of how Mimamsa works. So how do you then interpret that? We are giving only actually a sample here. When Vedas say that celestials are immortal, since that is logical to accept it, we interpret it and say immortality means very, very long life. That's all we say. It is not literal immortality, But compared to earthly life, heavenly life is very, very long. And we also use the word permanent, eternal, etc. in relative sense of the term, even in earthly use many times. For example, when we wait for someone and the person has not come in 30 minutes, 40 minutes or 1 hour, what do we say? We have been waiting eternally for this guy, forever. Similarly, when a person gets a temporary job and 6 months he got probation in that job also, and then that person is confirmed in the job, what do we say? I now got permanent job. And what is the permanent job? Eternally will he be employed? No. Permanent means compared to his 6 months of probation, 25 years is relatively permanent. So, Swargalokaha Amrutattvam Bhajante, they have relative immortality. Amrutattvam here refers to relative immortality and not absolute immortality. So, in Sanskrit, this is called Apekshika Amrutattvam Bhajante. Apekshika Amrutattvam. So, and not only for immortality, with respect to all other things also, we should take it as relative only. There is nothing like absolute. So, in with respect to immortality. So, even the heavenly pleasures, they are also relative only. They also have sorrows. In heaven also they have sorrows. For example, if you take one Varuna Devata, he is in heavens. When he sees Indra, who is the king, he is certainly unhappy because Varuna is only a cabinet minister, whereas Indra is prime minister or president. So Indra only he has got the Airavatam, whereas Varuna cannot ride Airavatam, whether it is Varuna or Agni, any of them, they cannot, Vayu. So it's a special vehicle for Indra. He has got a reserved spot for parking. So they also have Ragadvesha problem. They also have jealousy. They also have sorrow, hatred. But when we say heavenly world is full of pleasures, it is compared to earth, comparative to earth. They have better pleasures. That all it means, not that they have permanent, unbound pleasures. So everything is apekshika, relative only. Having known this much, now Nachiketa says, I want the means to attain that heavenly world. For whose sake he is asking? Not for his sake, because he is not interested even in the heavens. We are going to see that his glory later, actually in the third boon only we are going to see it. He says, heaven is also like, it's a pittance. I don't care for that at all. He is going to say, it's nothing. He does not ask for this benefit for himself, but for the sake of society, where most people would desire that, he is asking for this. So he asked Yamadharma Raja, please teach me. And what does it mean? He wants him to teach a religious ritual which will take him to heaven, take any person to heaven. So it is a Vaidika karma which is Swarga Sadhanam, which will enable a person to go to Swarga. Now if you look at the first line, O Mrityoho, O Yamadharma Raja, Sa Tvamagnigum Adyeshi. Sattvam Agnigum Adyeshi. You know that means to heaven. How do we know? Because he has reached the heavens already. So please teach me that. He is asking Yamadharma Raja, you are already in heaven, so you should know how to reach here. So please teach that to me. Here a word Agnim is used. Tvam Agnigum Adyeshi. Agnim is used. But in this context, Agni in normal sense, that means fire. But in this context, it is used with three different technical meanings. All these three meanings should be known, because in different contexts, all this will be applied. And what are the three meanings now, if you see that? One, Agni. Agni means that specific fire which is kindled in a specific manner, chanting specific mantras and located in a specific place. This is Agni, first meaning of Agni. We will explain all these three expressions actually. Now when we say the specific fire which is kindled in a specific manner, when we say kindled in a specific manner for rituals, fire has to be kindled in a specific manner. We cannot use, for example, a cigarette lighter to light a fire, or a LPG, you know, the small gas lighters. We cannot use any of them, or matchstick. We have to use what is called Arani Mathanam. they have got this small tool. With this, they do this matanam to take the agni out. So this is one way by which they have to generate the agni. And when it is being kindled, specific mantras have to be recited depending on the type of rituals. Since many rituals are there, different mantras are chanted for kindling different specific, different kinds of fires. And it is also located in a specific place called Homakunda. You cannot put the fire in any place. It is located in a Homakunda. It's a fire trough. You cannot locate it in anywhere. Scriptures mention the type of Homakunda. For a particular type of ritual, the Homakunda must be circular. In some other places, it should be like a square. In other places, it should be semicircular. They have got different types of Homakundas also. And that specific fire, which fulfills all these conditions, that is called Agni. That is the first meaning of Agni. And the second meaning of Agni here is, the ritual which is performed using the particular fire is also Agni. So the ritual itself, the fire is called Agni earlier, and now the ritual itself is called Agni. And the third meaning is, later in the course of the second boon, Yama is going to talk about a meditation as part of the ritual. In the course of, when Yama is going to give the second boon, he is going to talk about a particular type of meditation. So it is a meditation in which a particular devata is called, the Virat Devata or Vaishvanara. He is going to be invoked in this fire. So as we invoke Lord Shiva in the Shivalinga, since Virat is invoked in the fire, the third meaning is Virat Devata. So Vaishvanara Devata. So the word Agni has three meanings now. What are the three meanings? One is, it is a specific fire. Second is a specific ritual. And third one, a specific deity, the Vaishvanara Devata. And the most important thing is, Yamadharma Raja will use the word Agni in all three meanings indiscriminately. It is our agility of mind, we should be alert to apply the appropriate meaning for the word Agni in understanding the statements. So now if you look at the first line, Nachiketas tells, O Yamadharma Raja, teach me that Agni. What Agni? Which meaning of we have to take here? It should be meaning number two. Teach me that ritual. So when he says teach me that Agni, here that Agni means teach me that ritual. And what type of rituals? Swargyam, which will lead one to the heavens. You please teach me that ritual which will lead a person to the heavens. So swarga prapti sadhana karma. Please teach me that. And so adhyeshi, you are aware of that ritual. And so what you should do? Tagum prabruhi, you may impart that knowledge to me also. Please impart that knowledge to me also. And here another important idea Nachiketas tells also, that a particular ritual will lead to heaven is a matter of faith. That is another important message we understand, that a particular ritual will lead somebody to heaven, that's a matter of faith. In fact, the very heaven itself, if we talk, it's a matter of faith only. Because nobody has seen it. Not anyone has come back from heaven and told me also about it. And that I will continue to exist after death, that is also a matter of faith. Because scriptures say, we believe it, that's all. And that I can go to heaven is a matter of faith. And that this particular ritual will take me to heaven, that is also a matter of faith. In short, the entire ritualistic portion is faith-based only. If you have no faith, rituals will not have much meaning either. Unless we have faith, rituals will have no meaning to us. I have to prescribe rituals for some other purpose. For example, like a blood pressure, it will come down. If I do a ritual, blood pressure will come down. If I say, if the blood pressure comes down, people might believe. Otherwise, they may not. So I should stop all heaven, punyam, all those things to make people have faith in these rituals. So Nachiketas is aware of that, and so he says, Shraddha Dhanaya Mahyam. O Yamadharma Raja, I have faith in the scriptures, the rituals, heaven, and so teach me the ritual. So Nachiketas is aware of all this. So he is telling Yamadharma Raja, Shraddha Dhanaya Mahyam. And I will give this ritual to all those people who have faith only. So even though he is learning it from Yamadharma Raja, he is communicating to him that he will teach this to all those people who have faith in all these. So Shraddha, Shraddha Dhanaya Mahyam. And from this we also come to know another important qualification of Achiketas, Shastra Shraddha, Vaidika Shraddha, the Astikhyam, that is something which Nachiketas enjoys. He is a young boy, but even though being a young boy, he enjoys this Astikhyam, this Shraddha, Shastra Shraddha. So please teach me that ritual, that is what he is asking Yamadharma Raja. And in the fourth line, Nachiketas concludes, Yetat Dvitiyena Varena Vrine. I am asking for the ritual through the Dvitiyena Varena. This is the second boon. Through that I am asking. So he keeps his account properly. Because even though in the first varam, he has been boon, he has been clubbing so many things, he didn't lose track of it. He clubbed the entire thing as one. Now he is asking number two. Verse number 14. Prate prabhravimi prabhravimi tadu meni bodham swargyam agnim nachiketaha prajanan ananta lokaptim ato pratishtam vidyitvametam nihitam guhayam. So the previous two mantras are the words of Nachiketas. Now Yamadharma Raja's reply is given in the following mantras. Now if you take the second line, Nachiketaha, O Nachiketas, Yama is addressing him, Swargyam Agnim Prajanan. Yama first acknowledges saying that I know that ritual. Okay, you asked me about it, I know it. Agni, Agni here means what? What is the meaning of actual? The meaning number two, namely ritual. Swargya Agni means the Agni ritual that will lead a person to Swarga. Prajanan, I know very well. I know very well. And not only I know very well, I am not going to keep it as a business secret. Prabravimi te. The word pra te bravimi, we have to make it, we connect the pra with bravimi. Prabravimi te. Should be connected with bravimi. So prabravimi means I shall impart that knowledge to you. Nibodha. May you understand that from me. That's what he is telling to Nachiketas. And what is the glory of that Agni? The third and the fourth line, they talk about the glory of that Agni. The beauty is, as even we read the glory, we have to take the meaning of the word Agni appropriately. Because as we said, depending on the context, there are three meanings for Agni which are used at various places. So he says, the first glory is Ananta Loka Aptim. Ananta Loka Apti means Swarga Loka Sadhanam. The ritual is a means to attain the heavens. Ananta Loka Apti. That's the glory. And Ato Pratishtam. And this Agni is the very substratum of the entire universe. Pratishta means support. Substratum. Here Yamadharma Raja says that Agni is the support of the universe. And if this statement should be meaningful, which meaning of Agni we should take here? 1, 2, or 3? What are 1, 2, and 3? Just to refresh. 1 is a specific fire. 2 is a specific ritual. 3 is a specific devata. So among the three meanings, which one we should take? We should take the meaning of the devata as the meaning here. Agni as the Virat Devata is substratum of the universe. That alone can be the support of the universe. Because Virat is otherwise called Vishwarupa Devata, Samashti Devata, the total. That is called Virat Devata. So more about Virat Devata we will see later. So Vishwarupa Ishwara, the one which was described in Bhagavad Gita in the 11th chapter, Vishwarupa Darshana Yoga. So it is the support of everything in creation. Like what? Like the ocean, which is a support for all the waves, all the bubbles, froth, everything in the ocean. It is a support for all of them. Therefore, ato pratishtam. And he says, that agni vidyitvametam nihitam guhayam. Vidyitvameyam, tvamedam. Vidhi, Tvam Vidhi, you know. Etam, Etam means that fire. Nihitam Guhayam, which resides in the heart. And here also we have to understand the meaning properly. We have to take the appropriate meaning because Agni is residing in the heart. So the Agni that is residing in the heart cannot be fire. Right? Fire cannot reside in the heart. Here also Agni means the Virat Devata, who is in the heart of the meditators, the seekers. So in the heart of the seekers, the Agni is there. And why in the heart of the meditators? Because the meditators invoke the deity in their heart. When they do any upasana, the upasya devata is invoked in the heart. Like for example, we have the picture of Hanuman. You know, people, they show a picture of Hanuman. Hanuman, what he says, what he does? He tears open his heart and to show that Rama is inside the heart. That is, in his heart, the Lord has been invoked by him. That's all the meaning. And here also, the Virat Devata is invoked by the meditator and that is represented by the Agni here. And such an Agni, I will teach you. Yamadharma Raja tells him, such an Agni, such a ritual, where the invoking this Devata, I will teach you. Verse number 15. Lokadi Magnim Tamuvacha Tasmai Yayishtakaha Yavatirva Yatava Sachapitate Pratyavadat Yatoktam Atasya Mrityuhu Punarevaha Tushtaha. This mantra is actually the words of the Upanishad. Nachiketas asked the question, Yamadharma, he replied to him, and now the Upanishad comes back and it is telling these words. So, previous mantra is Yamavacha. And this mantra is from Upanishad and gives the report of what happened between Yamadharma Raja and Nachiketas. What happened? Yamaha, Tasmai Tam Agnim Uvacha. Here we have to understand Yama. Tasmai. Tasmai means to him. To whom? To Nachiketas. To Nachiketas. Yama taught Nachiketas Tam Agnim. Tam Agnim means that specific Agni. Tam Agnim refers to that specific Agni. And what is the meaning of Agni here now? The ritual. Here Agni means the ritual. He taught the entire Agni ritual. And what is meant by teaching the ritual? Everything connected with the ritual is taught. And what are those? A few items are mentioned here in this verse. Ya ishtakaha. Before starting the ritual, the first thing is the invocation of the specific fire in a particular homakunda. That is the first thing. And the homakunda also cannot be what we like. There are specifications for the homakunda. And what are those? The type of bricks used to prepare the homakunda. What type of bricks? Not only that, even while preparing the bricks, what are the mantras to be recited? Imagine the details of the ritualistic context. And there is a particular mantra for that also. It seems for a particular ritual, they have to milk the cow. This is so strange. For a particular ritual, they have to milk the cow. And before milking the cow, the calf will be drinking the milk of the mother. And after it has drunk some amount, it has to be taken aside and the cow has to be milked. So to drive away the calf, you have to use a particular type of stick. These are all given in the rituals. And when you are plucking that stick from a tree, you have to chant a mantra. We cannot just pluck a stick from a tree and then drive away the calf. We have to recite a mantra when we pluck the stick from the tree. And you know what is that mantra? That is the very first mantra of Yajurveda. Ishetvurjetva vayavastho vayavastha devovastha vita prapayato sreshtatama yakarmane. So that is the mantra they will recite to pluck the stick from the tree to drive away the calf. So that is the first mantra of Yajurveda before they milk the cow. Now, if this is the amount of details if one has to follow to do a ritual, will anybody be interested in doing these rituals? No one. So this is the Karmakanda portion of Vedas. If you do all that and follow all the details, then one is assured of whatever is the benefit of doing that ritual in Karmakanda. So to prepare the bricks, there are mantras again. the size of the bricks. Actually, we developed the entire science of geometry for preparing Homagunda those days. So it is called Sulba Sutrani or Sulba Sutrani. And so what should be the length, width, the thickness of the brick, the configuration, all those things are there. And having decided the size, then Yavatirva, how many such bricks should be used? So once they decide on the size of the Homakundam and size of the brick and all, how many of these bricks also should be used? The exact number as specified in the sutras, Yaha. Yaha means the type and size of bricks. And Yavatihi means the number of bricks. And Yatava, not only the size and number, in what way the bricks should be arranged. Whether should be arranged in a square or in a rectangular pattern, semicircular pattern, circular pattern. And depending upon the specific fire, the Homagunda also will change. Ahavani Agnihi, Dakshina Agnihi, Garhyapati Agnihi, Sabhya Agnihi. See, Avasata Agni, there are so many different types of fire rituals. So for each one of them, all these things are specifically mentioned. So names of different specific fire for which square, circular, etc. Homagundas are prescribed. All these things Yamadharma Raja taught to Nachiketas. And this is only a limited detail. Then he should have taught him all the oblations to be offered in the Agni. How to prepare the oblations. Some are cooked grains, some from ghee, all those things. You have got purodasa, there is one particular material to be offered, which is like the pancake. How to prepare the pancake, the materials used, how to prepare those materials, all those are taught by Yamadharma Raja. And Nachiketas did not come with a pen and pencil or a tape recorder. He was such a brilliant boy, he absorbed all the details given by Yamadharma Raja like a sponge, everything taught to him. So his Medha Shaktihi, another important qualification for a Vedic student, Grahana Dharana Shaktihi, capacity to receive and retain, reception and retention put together is called Medha Shakti. Both Vedic and Vedantic students, they require that immensely. And when a brahmachari performs the samidadanam ritual every day, what he says, mayi medha mayi prajam mayi agnistejo dadatu mayi medha mayi prajam mayi indra indriyam dadatu mayi medha mayi prajam mayi suryo brajo dadatu. He is asking for all that. He asks for several qualifications, but he repeats each time this medha shakti, mayi medham, several times. Please give me the medha shakti, the ability to grasp and to retain whatever I have grasped. And through the story, what is the instruction now we get? We also should develop Medha Shakti. Otherwise, we come to every class with what? With a clean slate. Whatever was taught in the previous class, we forget. So the ability to grasp and retain is very important. We also should pray for the Medha Shakti every day. And when we say three boons, at least we should remember the context and the boons. That much at least we should remember. So Nachiketas grasped the entire thing. Not only he grasped, he repeated the whole thing to Yamadharma Raja also back. Sachapi tat pratyavadat. Nachiketas repeated pratyavadat, the whole thing in front of Yamadharma Raja. Having heard all the things, he repeated the whole thing back to him. Before the second class is taught, the student must summarize the first class. If the student was not able to do that, no more further class. That was the kind of system in Gurukula. So it was such a rigorous tradition that is why for thousands of years, it could be maintained with only oral communication. There was no script, there was no notes. All those things came much, much later. But through oral communication only, the entire thing was propagated. So pratyavadate, Nachiketas repeated. How? Yatoktham, exactly as was taught to him by Yamadharma Raja. As it was taught to him, he just repeated the entire thing. So Yama taught Agni the ritual. Not only that, Yama taught one more thing also, one more item. And what is that? how to invoke the Vishwarupa Devata in that specific fire. How to invoke the Devata, just only the ritual is one thing, but how to invoke the Devata also in that specific fire, that was also taught by Yamadharmaraja to Nachiketas. So, how to invoke the Vishwarupa Devata? That is, Lord as the total gross universe, the Vishwarupa Devata. Samashti Stula Prapancha Sahita Sahit Chaitanyam. That is the Vishwarupaha. So, the consciousness inherent in the macrocosmic universe, or the macrocosmic universe blessed by consciousness or Chaitanyam, that is called Virat or Vishwarupa. Which actually we read actually in the very Dhyana Shloka of Vishnu Sahasrana whenever we do that. Bhupadav Yasyanabir Vedasuranilas Chandra Surya Chanetre. This shloka, if when we read this, at the end, Chitram Ramram Yateetam Tribhuvana Vapusham Vishnumisham Namami. That Tribhuvana Vapush, Vishwarupa, is here called Virat. This Virat Devata, it can be invoked where? In the very same fire where the ritual is done. So place, the same place where the ritual is done, it is invoked there. And if a person invokes the Virat Devata in the ritualistic fire and meditate upon that Devata, that is called Virat Upasana. If a person can invoke the Virat Devata in the ritualistic fire and meditate upon that, that is called Virat Upasana. And this Upasana is an optional exercise. A person can do this Upasana in addition to the ritual, or he need not do it. So we have then two types of rituals. One type of ritual is what? Is the Kevala Karma or Upasana Rahita Karma, mere ritual which is not clubbed with Virat Upasana, just a mere ritual. And the second thing is the very same ritual reinforced with Virat Upasana also, which is called Upasana Sahita Karma. The previous one is Upasana Rahita Karma. This is Upasana Sahita Karma. Ritual with and without meditation. And between these two, which is most powerful? Naturally, the one with meditation is more powerful, and so the result also will be different between the two. Then the question will be, what will be the difference in the results between these two rituals? The difference is actually what? Mere ritual will give me what? A lower heaven. We described 6 heavens, right? Bhuvarloka, Suvarloka, up to Brahmaloka. So the mere ritual will give a lower heaven. For, you know, in India they build houses, high income group, middle income group, low income group. Swamiji says all these examples. The colonies, you know, there are some places with AC rooms, you know, you have 24-hour water, they may have a generator for power failure, all those things in some houses. So this is the difference. So heaven also, we have Bhuvarloka, Suvarloka, Maharloka, all those things up to Brahmaloka. So Suvarloka and all are in the lower end. Brahmaloka is in the higher heavens, higher ends. So Kevala Karma will provide Swargaloka. Upasana Sahita Karma will provide even up to Brahmaloka Palam. So Upasana Rahita Karmana Swarga Praptihi and Upasana Sahita Karmana Brahmaloka Praptihi. So all these are not said here, but we have to supply to understand all of them, because that's a difference. So Yama wanted to teach the Upasana also. So first he taught the Agni, the ritual, and then he taught the Agni, the Devata. See, even in the same thing in the teaching, the word Agni has two different meanings. One is Agni the ritual, other one Agni the Devata. That is why there is a word in this mantra which is Lokadim Agnim. How do we interpret all these? The Upanishad says Lokadim Agnim. Lokadim Agnim refers to Lokadi, refers to Virat Devata. Why Virat Devata is called Lokadihi? Because Virat is supposed to be born before the arrival of the 14 lokas. So, Lokanam Adihi. Loka means here the 14 lokas. Starting from Patala, all the way up to Brahmaloka. All these 14 lokas. And Adihi means before. So, before even the creation of all the 14 lokas. So, from the Virat Shariram alone, the lokas are generated. And that is why in Purusha Sukta also what we say, Tasmaat Virada Jayata
విరాజో అధిపురుష స జాతో అత్యరిచ్యత పశ్చాద్భూమిమతో పురః. పశ్చాద్భూమి, ఫస్ట్ విరాట్ కేమ్, దెన్ ఓన్లీ పశ్చాత్ భూమి కేమ్. అండ్ సో విరాట్ ఈస్ లోకానాం ఆదిహి. దిస్ వన్ థింగ్ ద వన్ విచ్ ఇస్ ద హూ ఇస్ ద బిగి ఇన్ ద బిగినింగ్ ఆఫ్ క్రియేషన్ బిఫోర్ ఎనీథింగ్ ఇస్ క్రియేటెడ్ దాట్ ఈస్ ద ఆది. ఫ్రమ్ దాట్ ఓన్లీ ఆఫ్టర్ దాట్ ఓన్లీ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ కేమ్. అండ్ దాట్ విరాట్ దేవత ఆల్సో వాస్ టాట్ బై యమధర్మరాజా. ఇన్ షార్ట్ హీ టాట్ బోత్ ద కర్మ అండ్ ది ఉపాసన బోత్. అండ్ ద ఫోర్త్ లైన్ ఈస్ అథ మృత్యు తుష్ట. వెన్ నచికేతస్ లెర్న్డ్ బోత్ ద కర్మ అండ్ ఉపాసన అండ్ రిపీటెడ్ ది ఎంటైర్ థింగ్ ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ యాజ్ వాస్ టాట్ టు ద టీచర్, యమా వాస్ వెరీ ప్లీజ్డ్. విచ్ టీచర్ విల్ నాట్ బి ప్లీజ్డ్? బికాస్ వెన్ ద స్టూడెంట్ రిపీట్స్ ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ వాట్ వాస్ టాట్ అండ్ అండర్స్టూడ్ వాట్ వాస్ ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ టాట్, ద టీచర్ ఈస్ హ్యాపీ. నాట్ ఓన్లీ హీ లెర్న్డ్ బట్ హీ హ్యాడ్ కమ్యూనికేటెడ్ వెరీ వెల్, సో హీ ఈస్ వెరీ హ్యాపీ. సో యమా ఆల్సో వాస్ వెరీ ప్లీజ్డ్ అండ్ యమా వాస్ తుష్ట, హీ వాస్ వెరీ వెరీ హ్యాపీ. అండ్ సో హీ వాంటెడ్ టు గివ్ ఎ బోనస్ బోన్ బికాస్ హీ వాస్ సో హ్యాపీ. యమధర్మరాజా వాంటెడ్ టు గివ్ ఎ బోనస్ బూన్ ఇన్ అడిషన్ టు ది 3 బూన్స్ దట్ హీ ఆల్రెడీ ప్రామిస్. సో దర్ ఫోర్ ద ఉపనిషత్ సేస్ పునః ఏవ ఆహ, పునః ఏవ ఆహ. యమా అటర్డ్ ద ఫాలోయింగ్ వర్డ్స్ టు ద నచికేతస్. సో ద వర్డ్ అస్య, అస్య ఈస్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఫర్ పీపుల్ హూ ఆర్ ఇన్ గ్రామర్ స్టూడెంట్స్, షష్ఠీ విభక్తి ఇట్ ఈస్. ఇట్ ఈస్ గ్రామాటికలీ హ్యాంగింగ్ హియర్, సో వీ హ్యావ్ టు సప్లై ద వర్డ్ ప్రతివచనాత్. వీ హ్యావ్ టు అస్య ప్రతివచనాత్ తుష్ట. యమా వాస్ హ్యాపీ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది రెపిటేషన్ ప్రతివచన ఆఫ్ నచికేతస్. సో యమా హూ బికేమ్ హ్యాపీ బై ద రెపిటేషన్ ఆఫ్ నచికేతస్, హీ సెట్ దాస్. సో దట్ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు బీ ఇన్ ది నెక్స్ట్ శ్లోక విచ్ విల్ సీమ్ ఇన్ ద నెక్స్ట్ వెబినార్. యో వేదాదౌ స్వర ప్రోక్తో వేదాంతే చ ప్రతిష్ఠితః తస్య ప్రకృతిలీనస్య యః పరస్ స మహేశ్వరః. శ్రీకృష్ణార్పణం.